This is Notes from a Native Daughter. I am Sol Daniela. My guest today is Rita Cidre, an entrepreneur, an artist, a self-made artist. And she is the creator of Anda Pal, which really is a short slang for Anda Pal Carajo, andapal.com. It's Rita's way of dealing with nostalgia for Caribbean life, and also to celebrate Puerto Rican culture and life in between cultures, the music, the language, colors. She makes bags and custom bags and includes in them sayings of the Puerto Rican slang that would otherwise just be part of the vernacular, and she's made them available to the world in these lovely little pouches. We have a really nice conversation, deep, about what it means to be Puerto Rican and live in the mainland or in the world somewhere. And she's found this community online, and it's really rather beautiful. Some questions are unanswerable. Others are in the process of getting answered by the both of us. But it's sincere and honest, and she's a powerhouse. Enjoy. How did you end up in Seattle, and when?
Long story. actually, it's not that long. I left Puerto Rico when I was 18. And I kind of have stuck around the U.S. ever since. I left for college and then worked in the U.S. for some time, went back to Puerto Rico for a year, went back to the U.S. for grad school. And in grad school, I met this lovely man whom I ended up marrying. And I got a job in New York after grad school. He got a job in Seattle. We were long distance for 2 years, flying back and forth Seattle, New York, which aged me. Like, there was a point where I looked at myself in the bathroom mirror at JFK Airport, and I was like, oh my God, I feel like I've aged 25 years just from being going back and forth in this very, very long, long flight. So after doing that for 2 years, I was like, you know, we can't do this anymore. So we were both applying for jobs, him in New York and me in Seattle, and I got a job in Seattle. And so I kind of jumped at the opportunity to be next to him and not be in a long distance relationship, not really thinking through the fact that I would be in the farthest possible place from Puerto Rico in the continental United States, outside of possibly Alaska, which is actually fairly close to Seattle over here. But you know, I'm pretty far from home, and my parents often ask me, like, did we do something? is this a punishment? Why are you so far away? But I would say I did it for love. Didn't really do it like thinking through how far I would actually be from my friends and family at home. But yeah, that's how I ended up here in Seattle.
Oh my God. I love it. I love love stories. And you know, you did it for love, and that's so honorable and beautiful.
Yeah. And, yeah. I mean, it was worth it. I will say, there's something about when you're in a long distance relationship, I think, you know,
I've been there, always, so I know. I held a transatlantic relationship.
Oh my God. So you know, like, I remember at one point, maybe in New York, I was, and you know, the hour difference is 3 hours, which seems very small, but when you get out of work at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, and then my husband would get out of work here at 7 p.m. That's already 10 p.m. East Coast time. So he would call me and I'm going to sleep. Mm-hmm. I remember I would just send him these emails, and I got to the point where I was like, you know, I feel like I should just send you a personal newsletter about my life. It's, you know, I don't know if you found this in your long distance relationship, but I felt that, you know, our relationship, like, relationships are made out of like serendipitous random moments when you like watch something on TV and laugh together, or like, you know, someone burns the toast and you have to like, you know, run to the store to like buy some other breakfast, and everyone's late for work, or, you know, small little stupid stuff that really bonds you to a person. When you're long distance, you lose all of that. Like, everything is so planned. Every phone call is planned. You sort of have to go through like, this is what I did today. What did you do? And I had never been long distance before that time. And that was like my big lesson that I can't do long distance, not because I can't fly. I have enough energy to like figure out the flight schedules and, you know, do what it takes to make it work. It's just the loss of like the randomness and serendipity that makes like relationships really fun. That part I just really couldn't deal with, couldn't handle.
I see what you're saying in some points, but I think my experience was completely different. But this is not a love podcast necessarily. We can revisit this conversation. But I can relate to some of it. I think I have to say thank God for Skype.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and my husband was in Denmark, so he was really far away.
Oh my God.
But we managed this like interesting rhythm where he would, because he had this job that allowed him to come to the city, like, you know, every 6 weeks. So it was kind of, there was a rhythm to it, and it was kind of nice to have the spaces of time apart. And then when we were together, but like I said, you know, I just kind of wanted to know like how you ended in Seattle, and I love that it's for love, and, you know, I'm right there with you. And, you know, maybe we can dedicate a more thought out podcast to love and long distance relationships, because there's a lot to be said about them. The other day I read in the paper, there was a story, like more couples are living apart these days, more married couples than before, because of all this stuff, you know, of all these types of works that people are getting.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, your partner was in Denmark, you mentioned. Yeah. My husband is Austrian.
Yeah. I was reading that.
Yeah. We're long distance. We were long distance at that time to each other, but now we're together. And then obviously both of us long distance to our families.
Yeah.
So, you know, this topic of distance, and actually it's a kind of a nice segue into Andabal. And missing home and nostalgia for like what is your home is like really relevant for me and for him in different but very similar ways.
Well, actually, interesting. I want to talk about that, but I want to ask you another question regarding the family of all nations that you have and how scattered you all are. There's a little bit of parallel to my family as well, which is interesting. And, you know, do you ever all manage to get together?
Oh God, it's so seldom. I mean, the last time that we were all together was in 2002 when my grandmother died. We were all together in San Juan. That was the last time. And we almost managed to all be together for my wedding a couple of years ago. And then one of my brothers sort of bailed and did not show up, which I'm still kind of angry about, to be honest. It's logistically almost impossible. I don't know how spread apart your family is. My parents are divorced. We're five on my mother's side, and then there's two more on my father's side. And I have a brother in New York, another one in Detroit, another one in Boulder. I'm in Seattle. My sister's in Palo Alto. And then the twins from my dad's side are in the Virginia, sort of Maryland area. So, and then my father's in Florida. My mom's in San Juan. So you almost need like a logistics like expert to get all these people in one place.
Yeah, I get it.
Very challenging.
I get it. The countries become, it becomes sort of like a fight in allegiance. I feel like sometimes, you know, where am I going to go? Who am I going to be with? How am I going to choose?
Totally. You can't spread yourself across all of these different folks. You almost have to pick and choose, I guess, the people that you're closest to. Yeah. And that's really hard.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely is. So then, Andabal, you know, I know it's like a nostalgic burst of inspiration. Why did you choose that? Why did you choose that name, or how did the name come about?
Oh my God, I wish I had a great answer for you on like what the name was. It almost was a very random choice. So my husband doesn't speak very much Spanish. But I've taught him some sort of key words that he can use when we go to Puerto Rico. And I like remember last time we were there, every Christmas we have a really big sort of like pig roast in my house, lechon asado in my house. And we have a guy who comes to roast a pig, and he's just like badass. Like, this guy just roasts the best pig. And he's been around the world representing Puerto Rico and all these different pig roasting festivals, which I didn't even know existed, but they do. And so he wanted to talk to my husband about this, and he just assumed that my husband spoke Spanish. And I've taught my husband that whenever he doesn't know what to say, or like whatever happens when someone speaks to him in Puerto Rico, he should just say anda pal. And so that's what he does. People say, it doesn't matter what people say to him. He'll just like look at them and be like, anda pal. And it just works. It doesn't really matter. It's almost like a filler word that can mean so many different things and adapt itself to all these different contexts.
Yeah, you're right.
I feel like I use it a lot. And my friends use it a lot. And Christoph, my husband, he doesn't speak Spanish, but he almost just caught that from me hearing me talk on the phone all the time. He's heard that word over and over again, or that phrase. And so when I was, you know, here in Seattle and feeling so nostalgic for Puerto Rico and so far away, the Puerto Rican community here is really small slash almost non-existent. So I started just like coming up with like funny little things that I was sharing with my Facebook friends, of like either Puerto Rican sayings or like things that I found interesting and like unique to our culture. And, you know, I would put them online, and people would just say, oh my God, can you make a shirt? Can you make, I don't know, a poster or something? And I was like, oh, maybe I will. I mean, I like didn't want to do shirts because, to be completely honest, I am not a t-shirt person. I've never worn t-shirts. And I feel like whatever I sell has to have a certain degree of authenticity to it. And so I landed on starting with makeup bags, because I have so many of those and I find them so useful. And I travel a lot. So wherever I go, I always have like in my bag, I always have a makeup bag, sort of like smaller pouch in there with either like my iPhone cables or a passport. So I found that it's an easy way to sort of like, if when I started printing Puerto Rican sayings on them, it's sort of like a cool way to bring a little bit of home with me wherever I go. And so anda pal just came to me as like a no brainer thing of like, I know I use this phrase all the time. It's kind of funny. It is very unique to Puerto Rico, more unique than I even realized at the time. And the URL, like the domain, was actually available, which is shocking to me, that andaval.com was actually not taken. So that's how I sort of landed on that name. It wasn't truly scientific. It was just kind of like, I use it all the time and it's very Puerto Rican.
So about the screen printing, are you like an artist? Like, what did you study? Like, is that what you do? Or did you learn how to do that?
Yeah, I'm completely self-taught. I don't know if you can relate to this at all. I feel like I did not study the right thing. Like, if I had to go back in time to when I was in college, I would do the whole thing so differently.
Yeah.
Because I've always had a very artistic drive in me. I always I considered myself so much an artist when I was in high school, but when I was in high school and it was time to go to college, that didn't really mean anything in terms of a career. It was really hard for me to like explain to my parents or even to myself, like what it would mean for me to go to art school. Other in my head, going to art school would mean probably trying to make it as an artist and like have my art displayed in a museum. I had no idea what graphic design was or any of these other careers that are now sort of like, now I'm very aware of. So, my background is in liberal arts. I studied international relations and French in undergrad. And then I went to business school. So I have an MBA, and my sort of background is really in marketing from a more sort of professional full-time job standpoint. And I really love marketing in particular, because it always put me in a place where I could interact with designers a lot. So my focus is really on brand and communication. And so I spent a lot of time managing groups of people that were trying to design or write stuff that would make a product compelling or a brand compelling to someone. And that part of marketing, I absolutely love. So I would say that I reconnected with my sort of roots in design and my artistic roots through marketing. And everything that I do, from screen printing to design, is 100% self-taught. with like, you know, one or two adult learning courses here and there, and just like a ton of YouTube, just so much YouTube that I think if YouTube charged a fee, like, I don't think there's a lifetime for me to repay that fee. But you know, I think it's like one of the wonderful things about living in this like online connected world, that there's really no excuse to not do something, because you have all the information at your fingertips. To be able to become a designer, or to be able to become a marketer, or, you know, a horse trainer, or whatever it is that your heart sort of wants. And for me, it's 100% design, and design that really like, that makes people feel something, or makes people more than anything feel connected. And so, so I learned a lot of my graphic design, myself online. And then I, 4 years ago, almost now, I joined a community art group here in Seattle. And that's where I learned screen printing. So I started, you know, just being absolutely terrible. It probably took me 2 years to get to a place where I could actually sell stuff. Because my prints were consistent. I understood the techniques. I've gotten just so much better at it. And also, you know, just feel very grateful that screen printing has connected me to the art community here in Seattle. And that's been really great. I find a lot of inspiration from the folks that I work with here, in the city. And so yeah, like, bottom line, like, not an artist by trade, by background, but like completely self-taught, and hoping that that becomes what I do in the future, 100% of my time, or at least close to 100% of my time.
Wow. That is so beautiful, Rita. I mean, you have like truisms there for several people that I know. So what drives you?
I really feel that what drives me for, especially for like Andapal, is this strong sense of connection to Puerto Rico, that, you know, I'm not alone in feeling, and I've discovered that. As I move further with my business and meet more people, I find that I'm absolutely not alone in this feeling of like feeling like your body is in one place, but your heart and soul is in another. And there's so many. I mean, it's funny how a canvas bag, you know, something so simple can have such an impact on my life. I mean, the most wonderful gift that Andapal has given me is that it's connected me to all these different people, all over the United States and actually the world, who are Puerto Rican and live far from home and feel as connected as I do to Puerto Rico. So I think what drives me is to continue to like foster that sense of connection, which is honestly, it brings just so much joy to my life. And I hope it brings joy to other people's lives, people who follow me or read my blog or buy my products. So, you know, sometimes people ask me, like, are you like sort of a bag lady for life? And maybe, you know, maybe I'll be a screen printer for life, or I'll figure out how to like expand the line of handbags into other areas. I'm not entirely sure. What I'm 100% sure of, though, is that what I want to create and what Andapal is about is connection. 100%. And whether that connection happens through a handbag that you bought that you felt was so Puerto Rican in a way that is very inside, and that, you know, only Puerto Ricans would sort of understand that joke or find it funny, or whether it's through, you know, events that we throw in Puerto Rico that you come to and once a year, and you get together with people and discuss like what it means to live really far from home and or raise bilingual children, as I'm about to start raising. I'm not sure what the future brings, but I'm sure that whatever Andapal becomes as time goes by, connection is really what the driving force behind it.
Andapal, qué cosa tan linda.
I'm just crying because I'm very hormonal. Because I just had a baby. I won't cry, I promise, in your podcast. But
it's so beautiful. And, you know, I can relate to that, of course, in so many ways. From your husband to your family being all over, to the long distance relationship, to this sense of sometimes the division of the heart, right? Me voy para México, me voy para Miami, o me voy para Dominicana, o me voy para Berlin, o me voy, you know, where do I, what do I do? And yeah. There's only one of you. And the creation part is fundamental, I suppose, to give you a sense of grounding too.
Yeah, 100%. Because it, I mean, I feel like more and more I'm finding a sense of community, or like Puerto Rican community, online. Through Andapal, I found this in a way that I hadn't found here in Seattle before. And I think, I mean, that's critical for me, especially because I know that the chances that I will return to Puerto Rico full time are slim to none. I mean, I'm married to an Austrian person who does not speak Spanish. My life is so far right now from Puerto Rico physically, and I don't even know how I would even begin to sort of take the steps to return to the island. And so being able to have these connections online is, I think, really important for me. And I think for a lot of other people, I mean, as you just said, like, I think a lot of us, or a lot of the people that, I've interacted with online through Andapal, are in that dilemma of like, where am I going next? And I feel like, you know, the Puerto Rican diaspora is really interesting, because in some ways, like, we all have the option to return, right? We all do. It's not like Puerto Rico is in such a crisis that it's not possible to, like, you know, get on a plane and say, you know, I'm going to figure it out in San Juan. I'm sure something will happen and I'll be able to, like, find a livelihood. So it's a diaspora that is almost like 100% or more close to by choice for a lot of us, not everyone, of course, but for a lot of us, it is. I think it makes it very different, because you feel a sense of sort of ownership or of your own experience that you wouldn't necessarily feel if you were in a situation where you had to leave because you absolutely had to. Like, you know, my parents are Cuban, and they felt like they had to leave Havana, and leave everything behind for the sake of their family. I don't necessarily feel like that's my own diaspora story. And I think that makes it challenging in a different way, because I feel in some ways a sense of shame that I'm not back there. And on the other hand, a sense of, you know, I'm grateful for having the opportunity to see the world and to live in different places. And that tension between those two things of having the roots to sort of be grounded in Puerto Rico and like the wings to go see the world and explore and see, like, be exposed to other ways of thinking, that tension is really interesting, and I think felt by a lot of people.
I think you've touched on several important points, although things have changed now, because after Maria, everything is different for a lot of people, right? Yeah. Even for people with, on the outside might appear choices, you know, the choice to go back. It's definitely a hard moment in the history of the island, for both, you know, natural resource reasons and political reasons. And wherever we go, we make a little land, una tierrita.
Yeah, we do.
Which is what I think Andapal is, and why it drew me. I was like, ay, Dios mío, la reina del chinchorreo. El coqui es mi spirit animal. It's like, yeah, absolutely. NPI, like, who knows that but us, right?
Nobody.
It's quite something. Ay, Rita, well, I'm so proud of you, and I'm so glad that you made this collection. I'm going to promote it far and wide, tell other people about what you're doing, and think about some of the things you've said, because I don't have answers to some of the things you've said that are profound and deep, and I wanna think on them so that when I write about you, I can do you justice.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if some of them have answers. I think they're just kind of things that, like, me as someone who lives in the Puerto Rican diaspora, and I think a lot of other people probably think about. It's hard that I think they become harder questions because they're not so easy to say, okay, yeah, it's black or white. It's such a gray space for a lot of us far from home.
Yeah. Yeah. But then, you know, we are made close because of Zencastr or your bags or some other amazing projects that other people are doing, you know?
No, that's totally true. I think we are, we're a really strong community and getting stronger online of folks that love Puerto Rico and we want to do more for the island. That's, you know, something you mentioned, Maria. I think Maria is definitely a turning point in our history. And for me, like, what some of the things that I think about is I think of the future of Andapal, or how I want to, like, where can I impact what's going on in Puerto Rico? I think a lot about not just like how can I help connect this community and also give back in a more real way, other than just connecting folks, but so on the ground, how can I help more directly? So I think those are things that I think about all the time, because we are, you know, I remember last year I was in the San Sebastian festivals in both Miami and Orlando. There's a huge turnout for both. Hundreds of thousands of people showed up there. There's so much sort of love for the island and willingness to do something. But I found that a lot of us just sometimes don't know what to do. There's sort of the mobilizing of the Puerto Rican community in the United States. I think it's still in its very infancy, to try to figure out how can we from a distance, or can we even from a distance, help the situation in Puerto Rico or contribute to the future of the island. I think that's still sort of a TBD, for at least for me, and I think for a lot of us out in the diaspora.
I think so. It's a new movement, definitely, and new conversations are emerging, and new awareness, and I really appreciate that from all the different sectors that I navigate. And sometimes it's scary, because there's a lot of misunderstanding or vitriol or lost in translation, actually. But the hurricane did somehow bring us together, and in a sad way and also in a good way, and that, like you said, to be continued. So I will leave you. I love what you're doing, and I wish you many more years of industry.
Thank you so much. Thank you for talking with me. It was so much fun. I'm here for, honestly, whatever you need. De una boricua a otra. Always. So yes. Feel free to reach out.